so that people will be partakers of God's holiness. And if you're a partaker of God's holiness, then naturally that blessing and all them doors that we could talk about, all them good encouraging things we could say about God will come upon you and overtake you. There'll be blessing you'll receive you ain't even asked for. Opportunities will come to you wasn't even looking for. I'm going to tell you, God wants to bless you, have great desire to do it, but you can't go opposite of the way he wants you to live. Praise God. But it's good. I'm going to tell you, holiness is good. When you live righteously before God, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no limit to what God can do in your life. If you mess up, you ask God to forgive you. And then you make a decision. I ain't doing that no more. I'm going on with God. I'm going to stop this stuff that I've been doing that ain't right. I'm going to live righteously before God because I want all that God has for me. Praise God. See, the fruit of the Spirit will help you determine what is acceptable to God. So if I got joy in me and peace and the love of God and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and self-control, if these things are in me and they're abounding in me, then when I'm faced with situations and circumstances, all I got to do is look inside and see if this circumstance or what I'm getting ready to do, does it violate any of the fruit that's in me? Does it violate anything on the inside of me? I can check with the fruit of the Spirit. Does this follow love? Is this going to produce joy? Is this going to bring peace into my life? Is this going to cause me to be gentle? Am I going to be real ugly? Am I going to be long-suffering? Long-suffering means suffer long, but it also means to be slow to retaliate a wrong. How many of y'all like to get them quick? You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You know, we used to live by that law when we was little. I remember one time, a little old boy hit a girl that was year older than me. He slapped a little old boy. He ain't hurt her. But boy, she popped him good. Paya! And everybody jumped on and said, why you gonna hit that little boy? He big enough to dish it out. You ought to be big enough to take some of it. I said, but yeah, but he a little old bitty thing. That little boy ain't hurt you. Why you hit him so hard? He need to learn. If he gonna dish it out, he better be able to take it. I'll never forget that day. Quick to retaliate an evil. Somebody cuss you out, quick just go and cuss back. How many of you ever had your temper get involved and say, now hold on a minute here now. But you know, if you check this fruit of the Spirit there's a way for you to walk in love in any situation without you getting in the flesh. How many of you know that flesh begets flesh? Amen. Now, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, who's given to us. Amen. Now, these are things that we can know. The love of God is in me. Say, the love of God's in me. That's part of the divine nature. Say it. That's part of the divine nature of God. It's his love has been poured forth into my heart by the Holy Ghost. I've got love in me. I'm going to walk in love because God loves me and I love others. Amen. All right, listen to these scriptures right here.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Ever watching over us, majestic and so marvelous, high. KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God. Glory to God. How many will thank God for the blood this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. Reverend Robert Mays will be my reader this morning. Reverend Robert Mays, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and I want him to read verse 13. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13.
Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. What a blessed assurance it is to know that you have this kind of divine coverage. Certainly, historically, this is the story beginning with the 10 plagues upon Egypt for their mean and unfair treatment of the Israelites held in captivity, and God speaking to Moses and Moses refusing to adhere to the word of the Lord, and so begins to suffer the plagues that shall happen to show and to prove that he is God all by himself. And not only that he's God all by himself, but he is a God that loves and protects his people. Now, it was because of disobedience that they found themselves in this position in the first place. But even so, like the prodigal son, when they came to themselves, and after crying out to the Lord for some 430 years, he finally decided to answer their prayers. And so there is so much in this 12th chapter that I would that you would take the time to go through. But from the 3rd through the 13th verse, the 21st through the 23rd verse, and the 35th through the 37th verse, verses are some principles I want to share with you. I wish that I could go through them verse by verse because there are many, many nuggets in each one of them. But certainly I want us to understand that God has got this thing fixed. And as I said, even though historically this is for Israel's history, it is pragmatically for the people of God. In other words, there are some principles and some points God would that you ponder to understand his ways and his doings. And because he is the Lord and he changes not, he's still the same God. And if he is going to be with his people, that means his people past, his people present, and his people future. That means when he says, I am with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, because of who he is, he was speaking to his people. So the only qualification for you to have that promise extended to you is to be his people. Now look at this word, because there are some things, again, I want you to read more of this when you get home. But if you happen to look down while I'm talking about it, there are some points I want you to understand. The first thing is, he's talking about in this word, the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb. This was a different kind of lamb. First of all, it was a lamb to be selected properly. Selected properly. If you're noting, jot this down. Selected properly. Why is it important that the Passover lamb be selected properly? Well, first of all, because of God's instructions, the selected lamb is a lamb that's worthy to be sacrificed. It's not a lamb that can volunteer. Yeah, this must be a perfect lamb in terms of human perfection. First of all, it's a selected lamb because it says there are three things that must be in consideration with the selection. First, it must be a lamb without blemish. Without spot, without wrinkle. It must be a lamb whose coat is perfect and that appears to be quite healthy, and usually blemishes would denote that there was something underneath the skin going on, or something that was not quite right, or that there was some kind of a deficiency or malfunction in what would be considered a blemish. And so the first thing was it had to be without blemish. The second thing was that it had to be a male, because in that day, of course, male lambs brought more than female lambs did. And the wool somewhat differed in the male than the female. And certainly, again, the third requirement was that it must be of the first year. And so all of these things made it clear that God didn't want no anything to be sacrificed, because it was a life being substituted for life. And so what we've got to be clear about is God doesn't want anything we sacrifice to him. He wants the best of our sacrifices. God is not under warrant to take meager, many, minimal stuff you don't really want. Well, let me give it to the Lord because I don't really want this no more. When you get ready to go give canned goods to feed the hungry, or give to the food bank, you go get cans that have expired, cans that have been dented, cans that you don't want no more. No, that's not what you give away. You give what you want in return. If you're going to give away something that costs you something, that makes you know that this was a gift worthy of giving because you still wanted it. If I got a witness in the house. And I need to throw out parenthetically, God don't want nothing you don't want. So next time you decide you're going to give sacrificially, and the sacrifice don't cost you nothing, you don't feel nothing, it doesn't make a difference when you release it from your hand to God's hand, then it's not a sacrifice that's worthy of God. So it has to be selected properly. You'll find all these in these verses, verse 3 through 13. But then you also find out that there were specific preparations, because the lamb couldn't just be done any kind of way. It gives all of the requirements of each family, making sure that they had a lamb. If the lamb was too small, or rather the family was too small to eat one lamb, that they would share it with the neighboring family, that they would count up the people in the house to make sure that every person had their specific portion, that nothing was to be left over, that whatever could not be eaten would certainly be burned with fire, because this was a sacrifice to God. And if you sacrificed it to God, whatever was left over, the scraps couldn't go to the dogs. Or you couldn't treat that which was sacrificial as if that was left over was still not sacrificed. So whatever was not eaten was to be burned with fire unto the Lord. And so when you begin to understand, he talked about, listen, I don't want you, you got to be careful in how you prepare it. It was clear that the lamb had to be roasted. Yeah, it could not be sauce pecan. It couldn't be lamb etouffee. It had to be roasted. It couldn't be boiled. It couldn't be broiled. It had to be roasted. The head with the legs, listen, and the other pertinent parts, those parts that they would eat together, all of that had to be done and eaten at the same time. Then they had to be careful at what time they ate it. They had to be fully dressed with their loins girded, which means that their robes had to be pulled up, tucked around them with a girdle, had their shoes on and their staff in their hand with their food eaten, watching and ready to move at any time. It was all specifically and purposefully done because of what the Lord was getting ready to do. Now, keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, that there is also, not only were there specific preparations, but there was also, listen, a special purpose for the lamb's blood. And here it is right here. That blood that would be caught in a basin, they were to take a bunch of hyssop. And hyssop was a plant that was used for medicinal and ceremonial purposes. And they were to take the bunch of hyssop, dip it in the basin of blood, and strike it against the doorposts, the lintel, and the two side posts. Listen, and every time they dip it in the blood and strike the doorpost and strike the side post, it was putting a mark there that would protect them from God's death angel, the destroyer, from coming in the house and killing the firstborn of everything that was born. Now you got to understand, this plague was when God would visit Egypt to show Pharaoh, from Pharaoh all the way down, that everything that was firstborn would die in this plague. But listen, it wasn't reserved just for men, because if they went out in the stall, it also applied to cattle. And so the firstborn of everything would die in Egypt when that plague began. But God called his people out through Moses and told them, listen, if you will obey my instructions and do what I say do, that when I release this plague and the death angel, like a spirit, roams around, he's going to pass by every house and born in Egypt, and he will only stop where there is no blood on the lintel or on the doorpost. I don't want to get too happy and get ahead of myself, but listen, if you will, it's important for them to understand how special the blood was. The blood. This blood was so powerful because it was as perfect as could be, but even in its perfection, it was limited in what it could truly save. And I want to be careful to use this word save, because it really didn't save them. It spared them. Y'all gonna catch that sooner or later. But understand here, the purpose was to spare spare them for that, that God would honor them who honored him. Listen now. So now the special purpose of the blood was to protect them, to spare them, to keep them as God showed them and the Egyptians who he was. You know, some of us get it twisted. We get excited because the Lord spares us and we act like it's us. I told you, don't mess with me. Leave me alone. You don't know who I am. And while that's true, the whole reality was, it was to show the Egyptians and the Pharaoh who God was. Because Moses told them that God said, let my people go. But Pharaoh was like, who is this God? What is his name? And Moses knew he would ask that question. Therefore, in the preparation, Moses said, and when they ask me who you are, who shall I tell them you are? God was so big and so powerful, so magnanimous in his personality, no limit to his power. He just said, tell them I am that I am. And whatever that is, he is. And he can back it up. And so this was just the backing up of I am that I am. And so my brothers and sisters, when we begin to understand this blood was to keep the people to witness the great and horrible power of God. And the Bible says, at midnight, the death angel was released. And like a vapor, he moved effortlessly. And by every door that he did not see the blood on the lintel or on the doorpost, he would move right underneath the door like a vapor and go in every room and find the first blood. He would take the beat out the heart, the breath out the body, and the life out the soul, and move on to the next house. And folk would wake and holler and scream at the lifeless body of the firstborn. And people screaming in one house would wake up others in the other house. And they go run looking to see for their firstborn. And firstborn would limplessly live, limp life away from him, and he'd move on. Couldn't stop him, couldn't hide the baby, because there was no hiding place. Listen, the only protected place was behind the blood. Now listen, let me throw this out parenthetically. Let me throw this out for free. Let me help you use your imagination. If one of the Egyptian kids, firstborn, spent the night that night at the house of one who had the blood. I wish I had a helper in the house. That firstborn would have been spared. Because God is no respecter. He said, I'm not looking for sinners. I'm not looking for those who have messed up. I'm not looking for those who have fallen short. He said, I'm looking for those who do not stand behind the blood. When I see the blood, I won't even go behind the door. Are y'all listening to me? That's why I'm trying to tell you, it don't really matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen, how much you've messed up, what you say, what others say you aren't. If you got the blood and you are covered by the blood, the Lord don't even worry about the rest of the mess that's under the blood. See, that's what the devil don't want you to know. You know, oh, I did so much and I did all the rest. Just get under the blood, because the Lord ain't interested in that that's under the blood. Don't you know how many sinners need to hear how powerful the blood is? Man, the guilt, the grief that so many share because they don't understand the power of the blood. And if they were only to know, it's not them, but him. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Pass over. And so my brothers and sisters, that blood had a special purpose. But not only was it a special purpose, but it was to show God's people his power. To show God's people his power. You begin at verse 35 and you start seeing how God starts to give his people favor. There are three things I'm going to tell you and I'm going to leave you alone about. The first thing is that behind the lintel and the doorpost where the blood was, everybody, every firstborn was spared because they were covered by the blood. They were spared. They were spared. Secondly, everyone that was behind the doorposts and the lintel that had the blood, they shared in the blessings of the Egyptians. In other words, you're going to see that God gave them great favor. And they borrowed things from the Egyptians, of gold and of silver and of garments. And it's interesting because usually when you borrow, you got to give it back. But I noticed that was a different definition and understanding for the word borrowed. It literally meant to take with force. It meant to request something that could not be denied. Say, listen, I like that gold chain. Give me that gold chain. And so borrow has a different connotation than the word we presently use as borrow. They got this without the expectation of giving it back. Because when you keep reading the verses, it says it spoiled the Egyptians. And if it spoiled them, then it meant it took everything that they had. But this word spoil usually in this context comes in the arena of battle. When one had won the battle, they then took the goods of the ones they beat. Y'all not getting it. God let them take the valuables, the goods, and all of the stuff that they had that was worth anything before the battle ever began. I said favor, it's in there. And y'all know favor isn't fair, don't you? Oh, but it sure feels good. And they were able to see the favor of the Lord upon them lives, upon their lives, so much so that they spoiled the Egyptians. All that stuff was carried away. Carried away. And the last thing was they were set free. That's right. That's shouting news. They were set free. Because it don't matter if you borrow stuff, take it, demand it, whatever, and get it, and still got to stay there. Listen, I'm getting ready to go on a trip. I need that and that.